Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Welcome to the Transfer Rumour Mill. I'm Johnny Burrow, and let's start cutting through all this rubbish, shall we? Because I've got a full weekend's worth of transfer silly season bile to get our teeth into. If at any point, by the way, you think I'm talking rubbish, that number is 0208 7020 558. You can call me or you can WhatsApp, and it's an action-packed show. We're off to Manchester United with James Robson, Manchester football correspondent for the London Evening Standard. We're hearing that Pogba could be off to Real Madrid. We're hearing that Pogba could be off to Juventus. We're hearing that Pogba probably will be off. He can't join all of those clubs. Where will he go? But Mundo Deportivo, who it should be said, quite like a wind-up, are now reporting that Ivan Rakitic and Felipe Coutinho, both of Barcelona, could go to United if Pogba leaves. I will tell you now, for free, my gift to you, Ivan Rakitic is going absolutely nowhere near Old Trafford this season. The club, if we look at their financial motivation in the transfer market, at the way that Ed Woodward likes to operate, they're about resale value. They're about buying young, developing talent, selling on for a profit. This is the reality now for Manchester United. Look at the transfer business that they've done this summer. They've signed Daniel James from Swansea, one senior season, full season, I should say, for Swansea in the Championship. They're after Wan-Bissaka. They are going for youngsters. And listen, I'm a massive fan of Rakitic, technical player, goal-scoring attacking midfielder, pulling the strings from midfield. Fantastic to watch. He's 31. He's going absolutely nowhere near the red half of Manchester. They're also being linked with a young fullback playing in Holland. And could they be set to nick Yuri Tielemans off Leicester? We're off to Spain as well. We'll get the Real Madrid line on Pogba, on Rakitic, and also Gareth Bale. He is a wind-up merchant. He is a proper wind-up merchant, and I actually quite respect him for it. I'll tell you why. He, of course, hit the headlines in a big way about a month ago with his alleged comments. We don't know if they actually came from Bale, that if he's not going to play at Real Madrid, he doesn't care. He'll just sit there and play golf. He's not fussed. Honestly, 500 grand a week reported. I will sit there, I will play golf, and I will take home my paycheck. Happy days. For all of the drama about that, rather than duck his head or deny the comments, at the US Open earlier this week, which was played at Pebble Beach, Gareth Bale's sensational response was to tweet a picture of him in golf gear at Pebble Beach saying, "What a course. Lovely to play on. What a course." He's not fussed about football. Get him at the US Open. Get him on the PGA Tour. Dutch football as well. Barca, of course, in for De Ligt. Could they also be in for young Kasper Dolberg? He's a Scandinavian striker. Highly, highly rated. We'll be getting all the latest on him from Steve Davies of TotalDutchFootball.com. And, of course, over to France. And this is where I want to really get into the bulk of our chat this evening, because as you know, I love to open these shows with a cautionary tale, a reminder that most of these rumours are nonsense. That is the point of this show. We're cutting through the noise. We're trying to sell papers. That's what journalists are doing. They're trying to sell papers. They're trying to get you tuning in. We need to work out which is rubbish. There's a perfect example coming out of Ligue 1 tonight, which is, if we listen to L'Equipe in France, who, by the way, normally don't make stuff up, L'Equipe are saying that PSG are willing to sell their star Brazilian Neymar this summer. And then we go over to RMC Sport, who report that PSG will block any move for Neymar. Right. Okay. Brilliant. One of you is fibbing. I suspect it's not L'Equipe, but this is the point. What I suspect is going on is neither of those publications has any absolute knowledge. Neither of them has a direct line to Neymar, Neymar's agent. Neither of them, I can tell you for absolute certain, has talked to the people high up in PSG. It's just wind-up. It's absolute wind-up. You're taking a punt and you're trying to sell your paper. But let's focus on wind-up. And let's focus on Neymar, because he is often billed as a wind-up merchant. He's been grabbing the headlines for all the wrong reasons recently. There was a fairly unsavory altercation with a fan. He's behaved really badly on the pitch repeatedly. There were allegations of him not, shall we say, respecting Edison Cavani, who is, of course, PSG's all-time leading goalscorer. We saw him take penalties off him. We saw him basically seem to growl every time the Uruguayan scores a goal. He is a troublemaker. He is a troublemaker, and he time and time again is given preferential treatment by the real highest echelons of PSG, even when his manager, Thomas Tuchel, doesn't let him get away with it. We were hearing reports earlier this season that Neymar asked for permission to go on holiday, effectively. Tuchel said no, he went over his head, and off he went. Make no mistake, the man is a troublemaker. The man is a troublemaker. And so, of course, is the other guy grabbing the headlines today, Paul Pogba. Jose Mourinho probably went a bit far when he called him a virus at United. But I think there is little doubt now, actually, that this guy, fantastic footballer, I'm sure he's a nice man, is, if not a toxic influence in a dressing room, certainly a problematic one. This is a guy who, when his previous manager, Jose Mourinho, and we should recognise that fault on both sides, they didn't get on. This is a man who, when Mourinho finally was sacked, tweeted, "You messed with the wrong baller. What are you doing? What are you doing?" However much you have a personal problem with someone, show a bit of respect. The easiest thing to do there, even if you don't think it for a second, is just to get on Twitter and say, "You know what, Jose, you've been a fantastic gaffer. Thank you for the work you did." He didn't. He stuck the boot in. And he winds his teammates up as well. So the question I'm posing to you tonight, and we're looking at Neymar, we're looking at Pogba, how much should managers, how much should we as fans be willing to take from badly behaved, prima donna, Instagram star footballers? Because Pogba, on his day, is United's best player. Neymar, on his day, is one of the very best in the world. And yet, is it worth it? If they're ruining the dressing room, if they're making other players unhappy, if they're bringing the club into disrepute, by the way, in the case of Neymar, is it worth it? That's the question. 0208 7020 558. I suspect it isn't, and I think we could see both of those guys leave their respective clubs this summer. But as ever, here on the Rumour Mill, we like to play a game with you because we start the show by cutting through the noise. And then we create a little bit of our own. It is time, of course, for our regular feature, Two Truths and a Lie. If you're a new listener, the rules are simple. Two of the following transfer rumours are genuine. When I say they're genuine, what I mean is they are being reported by significant publications in the European press today. I don't mean the deal is true. I'm saying the rumour is being reported, and one, we have just made up. My wonderful producer and I have put our evil little heads together and are on the wind-up. So your three options are Danny Welbeck, who is, of course, a free agent now. Is he off to Leicester? Gary Cahill, also going to be a free agent, off to Inter Milan, despite being geriatric. And Neil Morpay of Brentford, off to Sevilla in La Liga. You can get voting at Love Sport Radio. You can WhatsApp me, 0208 7020 558. You can call up as well. But let's get the real inside line on Pogba and Manchester United.
This is Love Sport.
It's the Transfer Rumour Mill here on Love Sport Radio with me, Johnny Burrow, and I'm delighted to say that I'm joined on the line by James Robson, who is Manchester football correspondent for the London Evening Standard. Good evening, James. Thanks for joining me. First off, a simple one. Is Pogba off?
Thanks for that one. if you'd have asked me this about 2 months ago, despite knowing that he wasn't happy, I would have said no, because United's stance has very much been the case that he's not for sale, no matter what. Doesn't matter what they're offered, he's not for sale. But you just wonder, with him coming out and publicly saying it, can they really hold on to a player who's not happy, who so clearly wants out of the club? You know, Solskjaer's trying to build a new squad here. Can he do it around a player who he knows doesn't want to be there?
I mean, he's come out and said it, hasn't he? He said, it could be time for a new challenge, which is modern football speak for I'm off, I don't care. Do you think United will be resigned to losing him?
Well, the thing with United is they're in a really strong position. They don't have to sell. It's as simple as that. If they say he doesn't go, he doesn't go. He's got 2 years left on his contract. They've got the option of an automatic third year. They're in a really strong position here. They can just say, no, you're not for sale. So they shouldn't be panicking. That shouldn't be the case.
James, is any club in modern football ever in a strong position in this situation? Because he's under contract, and I take your point, but we've seen time and time again that if a player really decides not to go, decides to go on strike in the way that other stars have, is there anything United can do in that scenario?
Well, going on strike is extremely rare. I know we read it all the time, always prepared to go on strike. But when you think about it, how many players actually have gone on strike? I think Pierre Van Hooijdonk wasn't there, and Carlos Tevez more recently. But when you talk about whether clubs are in a strong position, I would say look at Manchester City. Manchester City never sell anyone unless they want to sell them. Carlos Tevez tried to get out and they just wouldn't let him. They said, right, fine, you know, you can go off to Argentina for however long you want. You're staying with us. And we'll decide when we're ready to sell you. So they're just across the road from United. And United are incredibly financially powerful. They can make a statement here and they can say, we don't want you to go. You're not going. Now, if you want to go on strike, do that. See how that helps you get in the move to Real Madrid in the future or playing in the European Championships next summer.
That's a very good point. But do you think they're going to be that bothered about keeping him? Because he does seem to be a difficult influence.
Yeah, well, there are two sides to it. In terms of being a bad influence on the dressing room, I'm not entirely sure that's the case because he's very popular. You know, there's a generation of players at United who very much look up to him.
But the kid in the class who's the wind-up merchant is often popular with his school mates. He might not be as popular with the teacher.
Possibly, but again, I think Solskjaer wants him in his squad and he wants him in his team. He wants to build around him. So he is popular with Solskjaer. He's popular with Deschamps. He was popular in Italy. You know, the idea of that he's a problem, I don't necessarily think is the case. However, if he wants to get out of the club, which we now are pretty sure he does, that is a problem. And that is a problem that I don't think any manager wants that. And whereas, I said before, City have said to Tevez, you know, you can go off, but we're not selling you. United aren't in a position where they can afford. I don't think Pogba ever would go on strike or make that clear, but
No. They're
not in a position where they can really afford that, because this is such a critical summer for Solskjaer that he needs everybody singing from the same hymn sheet. You know, you just can't have any sort of dissenting factions in that squad, because it's on a knife edge at the moment.
In terms of United's desire to keep him, James, how much of that is for footballing reasons? How much is for more, shall we say, cynical reasons? Because I've opened Instagram. It's not something I do very often. Manchester United, 29.2 million followers. Paul Labile Pogba, 35.2 million followers. Now, we often say there's no player bigger than the club. In terms of Instagram, he is bigger. In terms of potential revenue for the side, he's absolutely massive. How much is the financial mind of Ed Woodward and the marketability coming into this?
You can't ignore it. There's no way that you can't separate the two. However, if Pogba was purely a shirt-selling machine, United wouldn't sign him. United wouldn't keep him just because he sells shirts. So they let Wayne Rooney go and have a look how many Twitter followers he's got, how many Facebook followers. You know, it's not just a case of social media impressions, which we know Edward Wood loves to talk about on his conference calls. It's not just about that. But of course, it's a huge part, and particularly in the modern age. You know, you mentioned Pogba, who's got more of a social media presence than United. Just have a look at Cristiano Ronaldo. We're at a point where, you know, you sign that person and you're going to take their fans with them, because we're probably at a stage now where a lot of fans, certainly around the world, they support a player, not necessarily a club.
My mum used to do that with Thierry Henry, but I don't think it was about his footballing ability.
Well, you know, that's certainly, look, it is an issue in the modern age. But look, the other thing with United is, no matter who's there, they still sell shirts. No matter who's there, they still sell out the stadium. They still make commercial partnerships all around the world. That alone is not enough. If they didn't think he was value on the pitch as well, he'd be gone. But he still is. You know, he still is the best player at the club. He might be the only, David De Gea as well, world-class, truly world-class player they've got. But I also accept that he's not been at his best at United. And they might well just be looking at this now and thinking, well, we're in such a strong position, we can make a really sizable profit here because Real Madrid are desperate for him. So it could well be just a case of show us how much you want in Real Madrid.
How likely is it out of 10 that he goes, James?
I'm going to say 50-50.
Okay.
And I was sitting on the fence, but I'll say 50-50.
No, but that's really interesting because the point of this show is to cut through the noise, and reading the back pages today, you could be forgiven for assuming it was a foregone conclusion. So it's interesting to hear it's rather more complex than that. In terms of potential replacements, Mondo Deportivo are reporting that Rakitic and Coutinho could come in from Barca. That sounds to me suspiciously like nonsense, but are there legs to it?
With regards to Rakitic, last summer United were very interested. They were looking at him a lot last year, and I think that was with a view to the thought that Pogba might go last summer.
Mm. Is he not a bit old? Well,
this is the thing. Yeah, my understanding is that interest cooled a lot this season to the point of there being next to none. Obviously, things can change if Pogba suddenly walks out. But yeah, the other thing is that from Rakitic's point of view, he is absolutely determined to stay at Barcelona, and his wife, from what I'm told, has no interest in moving to England. So when the
woman doesn't
Chelsea,
want to swap Barcelona for Manchester,
exactly. Okay. Yeah, I think she's from Seville,
right?
And
oh yes, she was working in a bar, and he used to go back to the same bar just to see her. It's actually a really sweet story.
Right, well, you know more than me on that one. But when there was talk of him going to Chelsea, it was the same thing. It was, no, she does not intend to come to England.
She's not just anti the North then. What about Coutinho? There is obviously the Liverpool history.
Yeah. I'm not sure that the Liverpool factor would be too much. You know, if you can get a top-class player who happened to play for Liverpool, I don't think that's too much of an issue. Obviously, they signed Michael Owen in the past, and Liverpool signed Paul Ince in the past. Coutinho has been hanging around for a long time, and again, that's one that you kind of feel, look, Barcelona might be looking to sell him this summer.
Yeah.
There's only going to be a small market for him who will give them anything like a return on the money they spent on him. United are one of those few clubs. With him, he was always one that I looked at and thought, well, you're not going to have him and Pogba.
No.
So who knows if Pogba goes. But as things stand, I'm not expecting to see either of those at United.
Okay.
That could change, but I'm not expecting to.
No, that's very interesting. And in The Sun today, we're hearing links between United with PSV and Holland right-back Denzel Dumfries. I had rather been assuming that Aaron Wan-Bissaka was on his way to Old Trafford, but does that mean there's work yet to be done?
Well, they've been looking at alternatives to Wan-Bissaka. Wan-Bissaka is without doubt the first choice. Solskjaer wants it right back. He's one of the main targets that he went for this summer because the right back is such an issue for United. So he wants to resolve that, and he picked him out. He fits perfectly with this new profile they're going for, which is emerging British talent, also someone who's proven to an extent in the Premier League. So he is the one he wants. But for instance, Thomas Meunier is another one that they've inquired about. But I think anybody other than Wan-Bissaka, you're talking as very much backup options. They want the Wan-Bissaka move to go through.
Fascinating stuff. And just as a final one, the Daily Star are reporting that United have been offered Yuri Tielemans. Could they nick him off Leicester City?
Well, Tielemans, again, he's another one who has been sounded out as a backup. Again, the thought with him was they might go for him if Pogba went. Now, that now feels like it could be more likely, but he's one of a few that they have looked at just in case Pogba was to go. You could add Christian Eriksen into that as well. I wouldn't be expecting him tomorrow, let's say, but if Pogba were to go, then he's very much one of the ones they're considering.
Fantastic stuff. Well, James, thank you so much. You've really cleared up a lot for me around that Pogba situation and, of course, Wan-Bissaka as well. Thanks for your time. James Robson there, Manchester football correspondent at the Evening Standard. And just a reminder about tonight's two truths and a lie. Of course, two of these transfer rumours have been reported today. One, I have deviously made up. Your three choices are Neil Morpay of Brentford to Sevilla, Gary Cahill to Inter Milan, or Danny Welbeck to Leicester City. Coming up, if Pogba goes, could Real Madrid be the destination?
This is Love Sport.
It's the Transfer Rumour Mill here on Love Sport Radio with me, Johnny Burrow, and we've been talking Pogba. One potential destination, if he does leave Manchester United, is, of course, Real Madrid. I'm delighted to say that I'm joined on the line by Nicolai Lisberg, who's a Spanish football expert. Good evening, Nicolai. Could Pogba head off to Real?
He could. There's an interest. I don't think it's any secret that Madrid is looking for a central midfielder. The question has been most of the summer, most of the spring, whether that's central midfielder is Christian Eriksen from Tottenham or it's Paul Pogba.
Are they the and only right two now, options?
They're the only. Yeah, it looks like it. I mean, Madrid are always rumored with a lot of players, obviously, but it looks like for months, Marca, the biggest Spanish newspaper who writes about Madrid, has been writing about either Eriksen and Pogba, and it's gone up and down. Like 2 weeks ago, Pogba was the favorite. Last week, it was Eriksen, and now it seems like it's Pogba again. It also depends a little bit about how the players have acted in the press. I mean, it's a week ago or 2 weeks ago, Christian Eriksen said in the media that he thought it was time for a new step, and now Pogba pretty much said the same. So, yeah, one of those two could definitely end up at Madrid.
How likely do you think it is that Pogba goes?
It's difficult to say. I feel like Madrid, there's an interest. I don't think that's a secret. But I think Man United is not in a position where they need to sell. Had it been the other way around, had it been Pogba with only 1 year left of his contract and Eriksen with two, I think it would have been quite obvious that they would have reached the deal quite quickly. Now, Pogba still has 2 years, as I recall, left on his contract, and he is probably also the more expensive player. And Madrid needs to figure out if that's the position they want to go for, if it's more a central midfielder or it's more another number 10 that Eriksen would be. I think, as of now, as things stand, there's a good opportunity that he will end up in Madrid, but it depends on who they can sell as well. They need to sell a few players to be able to afford buying Pogba.
Mundo Deportivo are today reporting that if United do lose Pogba, they'll look to La Liga to replace him, specifically to Barcelona, and aim to bring in Ivan Rakitic, 31, and Felipe Coutinho, who's 26. Do you see that as being likely?
I see Rakitic being more likely as Coutinho. I mean, I think Barca are willing to skip off Rakitic also with De Jong coming in and Arthur making more and more a name of himself. So I think Rakitic could leave this summer. Coutinho, I still don't see it, to be honest. I know he hasn't had the greatest year and a half in Barcelona. He hasn't been able to live up to the expectations from when he came from Liverpool, but I just don't see exactly why he would go to Manchester United. I think he still believes that he can make a name for himself in Barcelona.
Do you think he will?
I think he will. I think Valverde is still rating quite high, and I think he still needs to find his position in this team. I mean, the position he's playing right now in Barcelona is pretty much he's playing on the left wing, where he's biggest or most important task is to make space for Jordi Alba's run up the line, and that doesn't suit him. He's not the key man. He's not the star as he was in Liverpool, as he is right now for Brazil and the Copa America with Neymar being out. And I think Barcelona needs to find a way to get him more involved. And I don't think they've given up on him just yet.
If Rakitic went, do you think he's going to another super club? I mean, he's 31 now. He's not a bit old for United.
It is, but I mean, you could draw a comparison to when they signed Bastian Schweinsteiger from Bayern Munich. I assume he was 30 or 31 years old as well. It seems like it's a classic Man United signing the last couple of years, doesn't it? I mean, buying these players, they sort of reach a point where they aren't able to attract the biggest players, the biggest talents, the biggest stars. So you got to settle for the next best thing. Instead of focusing on buying talent, it seems like they have, as of now, tried to sign some not over-the-hill players, because I still think Rakitic has a few good years left in him. But If I was a United fan, I wouldn't be overthrilled with this potential signing. He's been doing great at Barcelona, but he's also playing on a team that suits him very well. It's going to be a different task if he goes to United.
And The Sun are reporting that Gareth Bale could actually head over to Germany and go to Bayern Munich on loan for a year. That sounds a bit far-fetched. Could it happen?
I don't think, as of now, I don't think there's anything about it. I mean, his agent said, what did he say? There was rubbish or something, the story, when he was talking about the story. And the thing with Bayern is they've been very open about the players they wanted to sign this summer. I mean, they talked about Callum Hudson-Odoi for almost 6 months, and they never tried to hide the fact that they were interested in him. Pavard, they were also very clear that they wanted to sign him. So Bayern is a club that when they want something, they say it pretty much right away that we want him. I think they are nervous about not being able to get the best of Bale, being the injuries. I mean, they just skipped away. They need to do something in that position. I think that's why the link is there, because they haven't renewed the contracts of Robben and Ribery, who will be leading them. So they need to get in a new winger, but I just don't see it being Bale. I don't see him going to Bayern. And I the rumors are mainly in the Spanish press. The German press are not writing about them at all. And usually when it's about Bayern, the likes of Bild and Kicker, the big two newspapers in Germany, they usually know what's going on, and they haven't mentioned it with a word, pretty much. So I don't think he's going to Bayern.
Well, if you were in charge at Bayern, and you, with all due respect to Robben and Ribery, you've had great careers, if you just got rid of two ageing, injury-prone wingers, why would your replacement be an ageing, injury-prone winger? It doesn't really seem to make a great deal of sense. Bale, in theory, is reported to have made comments about being perfectly happy just playing golf. Do you think that he is going to leave Madrid this summer, or is he happy on the bench?
I think he's quite happy getting a match every now and then. I mean, he doesn't seem like he's trying to leave for any price. I mean, because if he was willing to leave, or he just wanted to get away, he would have used his agent more aggressively. He would have said something in the media. It seems like he's not really saying anything at all, and it seems like that he's maybe not happy, but he's accepted his role at Madrid. And yeah, apparently the golf courses are good in Madrid. The food is definitely good down here, so maybe that's what's keeping him. I don't know. It seems a bit weird, but it doesn't seem like he's eager to leave Madrid for any price. I mean, he's on a good contract, and he still gets to play every now and then. So at the moment, I think he seems like he's still happy. I think it's one of those transfers that could drag out through most of the summer. There's no doubt Madrid want to get rid of him, both because he has a massive salary, but also if they are looking to sign, for instance, Pogba or Eriksen or whoever, they need to get some money in. So the best option for Madrid would be to sell him. But I can see a scenario where late August they're gonna send him out on a loan. But yeah, who that club is gonna be, that's a good question.
Well, Nicolai, you've left me with an image of Gareth Bale with a plate of patatas bravas in one hand and a golf club in the other, which is not how I thought this evening was going to go, but I'm quite enjoying it. Thank you very much for your time. Nicolai Lisberg there, a fantastic Spanish football expert. And it's high drama in the Women's World Cup, because France have just been awarded a penalty in their game against Nigeria. It's 0-0, and it's been given again by VAR. The officiating, the technology, again taking centre stage in this tournament. There's a nervy few looks in the stadium for France as the kick is about to be taken. You just wonder, this is a big, big goal. France will be expecting to beat Nigeria. It's still 0-0, 76 minutes gone. It really has to be converted. Oh, and she's hit the post and it's gone wide. Renard, the free scoring centre half, all 6'2" of her. She's a fantastic player. She's got a goal record of roughly 1 in 3 for Lyon, presumably because she's been taking the penalties. But not if she takes them like that. The keeper went the right way as well. I mean, if Renard's on target there, it might well get saved. Heartbreak for France. And could this be a bit of a wobble after their assertive opening day win? Updates for you throughout this game as we get them. Can they make the breakthrough? But instead of worrying about France, let's head over to Holland and find out about the future of Matthijs de Ligt.
This is Love Sport.
High drama in the Women's World Cup, because it's looking like, for all of this officiating drama, for all of the VAR debate, it seems as if Wendy Renard has been ordered to retake the penalty that she missed for France. She's got a chance at redemption, having struck the post the first time. This could be a get-out-of-jail-free card for the big centre-half. Interesting, of course, that she has to take it again. Big pressure on her. The Nigerian keeper remonstrating with the referee, and that goal is looking quite large. You'd think Renard just needs to focus on actually hitting the target. She looks focused. She won't want to make the mistake twice in a row. It would be mortifying if she did, and she hasn't. She's gone exactly the opposite way. She went for bottom left the first time. She's gone for top right this time. And despite the free-scoring antics of the USA's Alex Morgan, could we see a centre-half win the Golden Boot at this summer's World Cup? It would be quite something. And talking of star player centre-halves, let's talk Matthijs de Ligt. I'm delighted to say that I'm joined on the line by Steve Davies of TotalDutchFootball.com. Good evening, Steve. The two clubs that we'd previously been hearing heavily linked with Ajax's captain were United and Barcelona, but The Sun today are reporting that Juventus are joining the hunt.
Hi, good evening.
Hi, nice to have you here.
But before I start, that was quite an impressive segue that you managed to weave.
That's very kind of you,
connect,
Steve.
Connected to the two subjects, though. That was very well done. So,
thank you.
Bravo. it's kind of come out a little bit of left field, because I think everybody, certainly in Dutch media, kind of presumed that PSG had basically wrapped up this transfer, because, as we all know, one of the great indicators of any transfer is when the partner of the player in question goes house hunting. And Matthijs de Ligt's girlfriend was spotted house hunting in Paris about a week ago, so we all kind of presume that was that. And obviously he's on holiday at the moment in Miami, so he's going to make a decision when he comes back. But apparently Pavel Nedved, who's the vice president of Juventus and the sporting director, paid a visit to Mino Raiola in Monte Carlo over the weekend. Obviously Mino Raiola's a De Ligt agent, to kind of table a bid. Now, one of the things that has really come out of this is obviously PSG's bid is believed to be by far and away the best bid on the table. The other thing was that the only real X factor in it was that De Ligt is very, very good friends with Frenkie de Jong, who signed in January for Barcelona, obviously in a delayed transfer that will go through in the summer. Mm. And that was the only real sort of X factor that could have weighed into this. Obviously Barcelona would have offered a lot less in relative terms, but the opportunity to continue that friendship and play alongside somebody who's familiar with was quite a tempting offer. But it's believed that PSG have probably got everything wrapped up. Obviously the situation with Juventus is an interesting one, but I think certainly the opinion in the Dutch media is that it's probably still going to be PSG, but obviously we'll know more when he returns from holiday.
Mm. Does it frustrate you, Steve, to hear him link with PSG? Because for me, I honestly cannot see the point. At Barcelona, he's got the chance of going and playing with his mate, Frenkie de Jong. But more than that, he can continue that Ajax Dutch legacy of Johan Cruyff in Catalonia, as against going and playing with all, well, no, not with all respect, with minimal respect against teams who are frankly rubbish, in a team where he's necessarily going to win the league. And the only real target is Champions League. What is the point?
I think it is one of the great questions, isn't it? That is it, what does really motivate modern players? And to be honest, with speaking from a Dutch point of view, it is disappointing, because one of the things that you would see, like from the most recent season, obviously Ajax have had a couple of seasons of not achieving a great deal, and it's allowed their young players to stay together for longer than they would have
generally had. Obviously, over the years before that, obviously title after title, Frank de Boer won. He had to cope with the likes of Christian Eriksen and the like leaving season after season, and so he could never. He always had to rebuild something. Whereas Erik ten Hag has had a luxury of sorts that he still had an embarrassment of riches really this season, and it's shown what can be done. And of course, it's disappointing for everybody in the Netherlands that we won't see that Ajax side have the opportunity to see what could happen next season. Because really what happened, obviously, in the semi-final with Tottenham was inexperience right at the end. They shouldn't really have lost that game. And it's one of those things where you learn from experience how to cope with that and move forward. And I think everybody fully expects that Ajax could have made that extra step and could have been another golden generation. And now they never really will be. So there's the disappointment with that. But also, it's the reality that money talks in the modern world. And unfortunately, this is one of those situations. I think, you know, from Flick's point of view, to kind of give him his due, he has stated from the word go that his preferred destination would be Barcelona. And that's the only real change that could come about. It does depend. I mean, you know, yourself.
So Juve haven't got a prayer?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think, you know, Juventus and Italian football in general, I mean, certainly growing up myself when I was a lot younger than this, obviously, in the mid-90s and the late 80s and whatnot, you would find that Italian football was the, you know, the epitome of European football when AC Milan were dominating and everything else. And that's, you know, and obviously when they had Van Basten and Rijkaard and Hullet playing along with, you know, that truly great team. They were dominating European football. They had all the money. They had all the star power and everything else. Italian football, unfortunately, has kind of fallen from grace since then. And, of course, Cristiano Ronaldo going to Juventus has shone a light on Italian football that perhaps it had lacked for a long time. And but in reality, it hasn't got that glamour. It hasn't got that attraction to young players anymore. And I think that what you find now is you watch the Italian game and it's become a league that, you know, with all due respect to Italian football, is below the level of, say, a La Liga, a Premier League, even a Bundesliga.
Yeah, but meanwhile, you know, in Paris, you can go away to Nîmes and win 8-0 and pretend that it's some kind of achievement. I take your point about Juve, but surely anything rather than PSG. You mentioned the depth of this golden generation. There are other names getting mentioned in today's press. One who we haven't heard about for a while, Casper Dolberg, Mundo Deportivo, is saying that Barca could be in for him.
Well, yeah, Barcelona apparently have a couple of players in mind, but bear in mind, Casper Dolberg, really, this season is coming off the back of an injury which kind of blighted his season the year before. And unfortunately for him, I think it was one of the few areas in the Ajax team where it was a case of an experienced player really standing in the way of a younger player.
Huntelaar.
Obviously a question on Huntelaar coming back and obviously suddenly rediscovering what it is to actually be a great goal scorer again. As he, you know, you would expect really when, you know, with all due respect to the Eredivisie, it's not the Bundesliga, it's not playing in the Champions League and whatever. And with confidence and playing time comes whatever he lost towards the end with Schalke. So, but unfortunately, that has meant that for Casper Dolberg, he has had to take a back seat for the majority of this season. But when he has come in, he's shown brief glimpses of what he is capable of. If he's given enough first team football, I have no doubt that he can move back into the sort of stratosphere that a Barcelona might be interested in him. Unfortunately, I think probably Barcelona had him on a shortlist maybe 18 months ago, I would say. I'm not convinced that he's on their shortlist right now.
I think that's
more of a January thing. I think if he has a good first half of the season, But of course, Huntelaar is still there. it's one of these situations. How much he's going to play, I don't know. But I don't think that Barcelona's on his radar quite yet. I think he will probably freely admit that as well. I think it's just speculation. I think people are just pulling names out of hats from, you know, previous transfer windows.
Yes.
In that case, I wouldn't put too much stock next to that one, to be honest.
Well, thank you for clearing that one up for us, Steve. Just a quick final one. Hakim Ziyech links with Arsenal. I thought he was going to Italy, actually, to possibly Roma. How likely is this one?
Well, Roma have been keeping track of Hakim Ziyech for, I would say, about 2.5 years. And literally every transfer window that rolls around, Roma are always in the market for Hakim Ziyech, supposedly, but nothing ever really seems to come of it. Now Arsenal and Liverpool are apparently both very interested, and Marc Overmars has actually said that Hakim Ziyech will categorically has actually said that he will leave Amsterdam this summer, and that a fee of around €35 million has been put on him, which hasn't put off either Arsenal or Liverpool, and possibly not Roma either. But I would expect he has spoken on numerous occasions, certainly in this past season, of wanting to play in the Premier League. So I think a move to Italy is perhaps his least favoured option. Okay. And I think if he was going to go to Italy, he's had ample opportunity to go to Italy over the last 2 years or so.
It's a very interesting point. We'll have to keep our eyes peeled on a potential move for Ziyech to the Premier League. Steve, it's been really enlightening to talk to you. Thank you for your time. Steve Davies there of TotalDutchFootball.com. Please don't go to PSG. Please. Talking of French football, it is still France 1, Nigeria 0 in the Women's World Cup. And that France goal will have been celebrated heartily in Scotland as it boosts their chances of qualifying for the last 16, despite the fact they're in a different group. Remember, only the four best third-placed teams will qualify. And so Scotland now can beat Argentina and be in with a chance. Coming up, Neymar, should he stay or should he go?
This is Love Sport.
Can you hear that grinding noise? It's the transfer rumour mill in full flow. I'm delighted to say that I'm joined on the line by Pierre-Antoine Denis, who's a French football journalist. Good evening, Pierre. Thanks for joining me. We got one of the great pieces of journalistic rubbish today because L'Equipe are saying PSG are willing to sell Neymar and RMC Sport are saying PSG will block any move for Neymar. Someone is fibbing. Who's telling the truth?
Honestly, I do think that L'Equipe has to be in the wrong there because if you really think about it, if you're a PSG and you really think about it, you bought Neymar for €222 million. It's been a massive thing. And you expected Neymar, despite all the shirts that have been sold and the attraction that have been around the club since he arrived, you expect Neymar to actually give you something in terms of European football. And okay, I mean, you joked about French football earlier. About the fact that you can go to Nîmes and win 8-0, which absolutely makes sense. Totally agree with you. And you don't actually need Neymar to do that. So winning the French league without Neymar or with Neymar, you can do it. You expect Neymar to give you the Champions League. So I don't think that PSG, in a kind of a sense, they want to sell Neymar. They just want to give him a warning. Because on top of that L'Equipe interview, France Football published an interview with Nasser Al-Khelaifi, PSG's president, in which he said, if a player doesn't want to work and work harder to become and to make of PSG a success, then the door is open. And I think that is a clear message to Neymar and some of the players in that team that just don't want to man up in the key moment. And I mean, this is the discussion that have been talked about, like the fact that PSG doesn't turn up in big moments. And I think that Neymar is a key aspect to that. And you don't want to sell Neymar, but you want to give him a warning to say, you're not irreplaceable in that group. You are just one player. I want to sell you, if you want to to leave you go, we can do it.
So PSG aren't wanting to get rid of him, but they are playing games. They're trying to remind him that he's not bigger than the club.
Yeah, exactly. And if you think about how Neymar is at the moment, he's injured. He's in the middle of an affair and like a judicial thing with like a woman. He's in the middle of like tax fraud. He's at really probably his worst ever moment in his life, in his personal life and his professional life at the moment. So it's kind of a warning to tell him, we may still be behind you, but you have to give us something. You can't just ruin the image of the club like this and think that you are way better and bigger than the club, because you're not. I mean, and,
do you think he's a problem in the dressing room, Pierre?
He can actually be a problem in that locker room, because he has all he can do anything he wants. I mean, the shocking example was on that last league game. He was suspended because of that fight he had after the French Cup. You can see all the how he can line up all his problems since he arrived, and he was suspended. And yet, instead of joining the group and being, I understand it was not fancy to go to Amiens to watch the game, but still, you have to go because you're part of the group and the club is paying you every month a fair amount of money. He asked the coach a fair amount of money. He asked Thomas Tuchel to go. Thomas Tuchel says, no, you have to come with us. He asked Antero Rique, yes, you can go. And this is showing the irresponsibility and the lack of authority in the board when it comes to Neymar. And I say Neymar, but I say Mbappe as well, even if I personally love Mbappe, because obviously I'm French. But still, it shows the arrogance and the importance that the player can actually feel they have when they arrive to a club like PSG. It should not happen when you're a club who aims to win a Champions League.
Do you think the people in charge of the club are undermining Thomas Tuchel by allowing Neymar to go over his head?
Honestly, yes. It takes time. It takes time to move such a big machine when it runs by money like this and not by spirit. I mean, something like this would never happen at Liverpool Football Club, for example. But when it's a club that is run like this with the money and with just by dollars, you can do all those types of things, but you need to bring that authority. So I don't think that is Tuchel's fault, but I think Tuchel has authority right now to bring his natural authority in the group and in the locker room, but he needs time and he needs comprehension, and he may actually need to put some players out like Neymar to kind of bring some sort of message to the others, like we managed to sell a guy that is considered as the first best player in the world. So if we can sell him and get rid of him just because he's not suitable, any of you guys.
Absolutely. We're also hearing links with Arsenal and William Saliba, the young centre-half for Saint-Étienne.
Yes.
How good do you think he is?
Honestly, I highly rate this guy. I think that he's showing a lot of maturity for his very young age. Now, moving to the Premier League is a completely different level. I agree with that. But if you look at someone like Matteo Guendouzi and the impact that he managed to add, he managed to have on the Arsenal team
from
all over the year, and the improvement
that
he had. And it's a different league, but you can still do it. You can still fill the gap and build that bridge over between the French league and the Premier League. And he's a very strong and physical player. So, and he has a lot of potential. So I really, really think that this could be a very good for him, but also and mainly for Arsenal, because they really need, we got to face that, they really need some strengths at the defence.
They do indeed. Wonderful speaking to you, Pierre. Just finally, I know you're in Egypt to cover the Africa Cup of Nations. Just a one-word answer, who are you tipping to win it?
I would go for Senegal for the first time.
Senegal, wonderful stuff. Pierre, lovely to speak to you. Thank you so much for your time. Pierre Antoine
Denis,
their French football journalist, giving his take on Neymar. We were told earlier in the show by James Robson of the Evening Standard that Pogba's not a problem in the United dressing room. We were told in no uncertain terms there that Neymar is an issue for PSG. It's been a fantastic show, and France's women, by the way, still 1-0 up against Nigeria in the 98th minute. It looks like they're going to do it. We've set the worlds to rights on Rakitic, on Pogba, on De Ligt. We've gone through all of it. We've cut through the noise, and it's time for your answers. In our two truths, one lie, your options were Danny Welbeck to Leicester, Gary Cahill to Inter Milan, and Neil Morpay to Sevilla. 42% of you went for the first two. The remainder was for Morpay. The fib was, of course, Danny Welbeck to Leicester. It sounded realistic, and that's how the transfer rumour mill works. See you next time.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.